You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. This is issue 41. Man, we made it 41 issues, Kylan. We gotta keep this is gonna go on forever.
Forever's a long time, man.
You do have a lot of issues.
Yes. We finally got the point where now we do have many, many issues.
I had issues before.
Well, that's why we have a show, so we can help deal with our issues in public. We don't like putting them in boxes and hiding them. We put them in public.
And we bag them and... Bag them and board them and tape them up and then put them there for everybody to see.
See, if anybody else, if this was any other kind of show other than a geek show, everybody'd have no idea what we're talking about when we say bagging them or boarding them.
That's true. Although I'm pretty sure there's something... Huh?
That means like putting them in a kennel?
Kind of, sort of.
Sure.
Although I'm pretty sure there's some woman out there that is such a big fan of good housekeeping that she bags and boards her issues and, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Have them in a long box for... Her friends.
Can we find that woman to come to our house to do it for all of ours that are in stacks?
We don't have good housekeeping. Not the magazine. There is no good housekeeping magazine in my home. I want that known right now.
Why? They actually have some good recipes in those.
Dude, no.
My mom That's gets really them, no so you flip through them every once in a while.
No, find an intern.
Yeah. But they do make magazine boxes that are actually wider than the comic boxes.
See it.
Yeah, because there are comic book magazines.
That's right.
And gaming magazines.
That's true.
To keep that one.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because that's a good save.
Kenmore Comics actually has the magazine boxes also. Around the corner where they have all their bags and boards and all their supplies, they actually have magazine boxes also.
For the good housekeeping geeks out there.
For whatever. Hey, that's a type of geek.
No, it's not. You read,
not everything is a type of geek.
Two weeks ago, you read my blog and how I felt about that. So,
well, Geeksters, as you can tell already, this is going to be a nice, relaxed show. This is the first time since the beginning of the year this year that we're able to actually get to the Motherwave Creation Studios, relax, and just have a good time. We watched, later on today, Kylan and our friend Jesse saw the 1984 classic movie Ice Pirates for the first time. The rest of us have already seen it.
Classic.
But, this is a classic.
In its loosest form.
it's no Buckaroo Banzai.
Not quite. It's the same year, though. Banzai 84?
Banzai was 84.
We've been over this before. 84 was like the year in the 80s for the geek movies.
Well,
good or bad.
Well, you know, we were prepared for the world to end in 84 because of Orwell.
Yeah.
You know, we survived it. Although I think
you're saying that's why some of these bad movies came out in 84?
They had to get them out as much as possible.
We were preparing for Orwellian Earth.
They had to get them out as much as possible, you know, because, you know, reasons.
Well, we promised you, what have you got?
We cooked.
Yeah, we cooked for that. We're going to go over that whole night. Vicky made some awesome chicken. Everybody brought something. We had a good night. We promised you guys last week on our Oddcast that we're going to actually spoil Deadpool. So today we're going to spoil Deadpool.
If you haven't seen it by now, there's a problem. I'm just saying.
So, we also have some guests with us. We have Mr. Motherwave Creations, Andy Hobb, which is a regular on the show with us.
Sup, dog?
We have Miss Julie, who's been on the show with us before.
Hi.
And we have Rick. You've been on the show here before.
Who's this Rick guy?
I don't know.
Most people, if you know, probably anywhere in the eastern U.S. when it comes to conventions, right?
Right.
You may have seen Rick running around as the Ninth Doctor. So most people that I know you just call you doctor anyway.
Right.
So, or Jack.
But Jack. We know him and love him as DJ Jack Burton. You guys have heard us talk about Jack Burton that did the DJing for our party at Con on the Cob. We're going to have him there again this year. You guys got to come. We're going to start advertising this now.
And that, actually, he's coming loaded for Bear.
Oh, yeah.
The bigger with more speakers.
More speakers.
I'm already
speakers.
Working on drinks.
Miss Vicky's already got her drinks going. We got the plans going. If you guys miss this, that's your fault. You're not going to want to miss this.
No.
So.
Wait, right. Will they get to meet Kylan and Ken at this party?
Just maybe.
The real Kylan and the real Ken?
Exactly.
And Miss Dawn and Miss Vicky?
Yeah.
At a party?
At a party.
So you're telling me people can come to a party?
Yep.
At Con on the Cob. And enjoy beverages made by Miss Vicky.
Yep.
Gawk at the awesomeness of Kylan Tolles.
Yeah, if you so
Ken
wish.
Give Ken a wedgie.
I don't know, because I might be in the
just
kill.
Maybe get an autograph from Miss Dawn herself.
Perhaps.
You know
this
what?
This is absurd.
all for the low price of one ticket to Con on the Cob.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also
membership has its privileges.
Yes, it does. Right.
You don't have to wait for the Con on the Cob party to see us, though, because next week we have the party you've been waiting 4 years for.
Whoa.
We are having on February 29th the Geek Watch One Meeplecast that we have every year or we have it every year, but we have it every month. It just happens that this one falls on leap year. So we're having our once every 4 year leap year party.
Sweet. What kind of special leap year activities are planned?
I'm not sure. We're working on that one. I gotta find
out. Lots of leaping.
Leapfrog?
Yeah.
There may be leapfrog. If it's nice weather, it could be out in the courtyard. There could be leapfrog.
That's a possibility. Rap battle with Renee Zellweger.
Is Chuck Norris gonna be there?
We could try.
Squirrel. You mean action and martial arts and action star Chuck Norris? Maybe, but I'm really hoping to have a rap battle with Renee Zellweger.
Well, you better get a hold of her so she'll show up.
Well, I was talking to Renee Zellweger last night, and she said, you know what, Kylan? I really would love to come to Northeast Ohio so I can go to the Meeple and I can hang out with you guys at your party on Leap Year Day.
And have a rap battle?
And have a rap battle.
But wait, at Oddball last week, I gave you a chance to freestyle on the mic, and you just weren't going to do it.
I was not going to do it because that was not the day for it, because Renee Zellweger threatened me.
Oh.
Yeah, whoa. But you did come up with a haiku on
I did come
yeah.
up with, so, I did. I did. Know. I bust out the haiku.
It didn't quite match Tom Smith's last-minute Deadpool song.
You know what? But, see, you know what? That,
yeah. But no.
See, Tom Smith is just showing off at that point.
No, the major difference is Tom Smith has 30 years experience.
That's true.
On
He's
doing
used
this.
To doing it in 5 minutes flat.
Right, see, you know.
Kylan had to actually write it down to make sure he had it right. Haikus are a little bit
he
more
had
difficult.
To count. He did have to count. That's
I had
true.
To count.
He had to count.
I had to count.
Yeah.
See,
that
you know.
Hard.
But see what, Geeksters, you see what you miss when you're not hanging out at a show with us?
Look, I was having to be creative within a format. See? And I rhyme. So.
So next time you're saying basically we put you up there, you will just slam poetry for us. Just like go right out. And
I will. Okay? I will slam. I will slam the good times thing.
No. It has to be original.
Original?
You just said you had to be creative within a format. We'll let you be creative without a format. So it has to be original. You've been warned.
Well, you talk.
you have until the last
See,
day of April.
Kylan always gets himself in trouble on those shows.
How did that even happen?
It's on record.
Is that
point,
yeah?
What did I just agree to?
Kylan,
what?
Just like your promise of a side hug from a bald headed black man to everybody who comes to Con on the Cob if we sell out the hotel.
Yeah, and I mean that.
That still stands.
That still stands.
I mean, I'm so going to go to the gym so I can start working the guns because that's made a lot of hugging.
That if you guys Geeksters, if we sell out the hotel for Con on the Cob, every one of you gets a side hug from a bald headed black man.
And I'm gonna say right now that I already have my room.
See?
Hey, can I say something on that topic?
Yeah.
Yes.
I hate to hijack the conversation.
No problem.
There is no format today.
Sweet. I'm talking about Con on the Cob, so I thought I'd drop this knowledge on people.
Uh oh.
It's a knowledge bomb.
Uh oh. Uh-oh.
Prepare yourselves. Alright, so you people at home, here's what you do. Who wants to get into Con on the Cob absolutely free of charge? Me! Who wants a free hotel room?
Me!
Who wants free food?
Me!
Yeah, all of us.
Oh, come on, Al.
Nobody says anything but Kylan.
Hey, who wants a free t-shirt?
Me!
Who wants a whole dang package of free stuff?
Woo!
Who wants to be the Con on the Cob attendee guest of honor this year for 2016?
Am I eligible?
Okay, here's how you do this, right? We're doing a special contest this month only. People who register for their con badge and reserve their hotel room by March 1st will be entered into a drawing. One of those people will be the attendee guest of honor. They'll get their badge free, their hotel room comped. They'll get free food for the weekend, free shirt, free jazz. It's going to be awesome, but we need people to sign up. March 1st, not May 1st.
So, Geeksters, you have a week left. This last week.
So do it right now while you're thinking. Go to cononthecob.com. Cob has one B in it. It's not a salad.
Anybody coming in from out of town, this is really easy to find this place.
Yep.
And we're not asking you to do something you weren't going to do already.
Yeah.
We're just saying stop procrastinating and you might win something awesome. Right on.
Speaking of which, we got to get our hotel room still.
So I got to call in
and just reserve it. So, what else you got going with Mother Waits Creations, Andy?
Well, the heap of peeps and the heap of creeps is heading off to the printer at the end of this week. That's
okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to start a new project for low-life-themed coloring books that are all the rage nowadays.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be bad egg. Am I allowed to say that word?
Good catch.
Bad butt. Oh, I was going to say butt. Bad buns.
That's good.
Bad rump.
That bad passes rump. Sam the Eagle says the censors will not bother you with that.
It's going to be bad haunches, man.
Bad haunches.
Bad haunches.
That sounds like something else altogether.
But actually, that's going to be, I know. Well, that's the whole thing about that sort of verbiage, is it can mean many things. I'm going to make the coloring books using some really sweet art I think you'll dig.
Nice.
But not only are they going to be coloring books, they're also going to be like an introduction into what low life is.
Oh, dude!
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
I think people are going to dig it.
Well, you know, I think that's cool because, like, I love telling people about your world and, you know, and I explain it because I have some of the shirts that, hey, what's that? I was like, oh, let me tell you about this world. And then when I get done telling them, they look at me like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, now if I have a coloring book to go with it.
That's right.
Now, is this going to involve a Kickstarter, or are you just printing them?
Yeah, of course it is. I also stay in business.
I'm just checking. What are we looking forward to?
No, as soon as the heap of creeps and heap of peeps are off to the backers from that Kickstarter, then I'll run the coloring.
Sweet.
Yes, ma'am. And here's something else you might find interesting. I just voted in my own head, and I've determined that Ken Rose is one of the top four sexiest men in this room.
Quite possibly.
I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Listeners, there are four men in this room.
I don't have to tell them that.
No, I mean, yes, I do.
All the toys and stuff are included.
Oh, you count all the toys?
And the tarantula.
Yeah, but that's like saying I graduated fourth in my class and there's four graduating.
I know. Hey, my boss at work actually can claim that. He's like one of the top six or something because there was six people graduated in his class.
Yeah, exactly.
He went to a boarding school in Southern Ohio.
Yeah.
Sounds like if you go to school on Put-in Bay.
Yeah.
So you were asking. I'm not trying to, you know, bogart the conversation. I know it's puff puff give kind of thing, but
hey, we're not talking about Deadpool yet.
Shot in the wrong neighborhood. But Oddmall last weekend, I know you already talked about that.
Oh yeah.
The next Oddmall, April 30th and May 1st, Akron at the John S. Knight Center.
Mm-hmm.
Still some prime spots left, but it's selling out quickly. So
I was actually talking to a local indie comic book artist about that yesterday.
Get them there.
So
we love them. And while we got Mr. Rick Shantari in the room,
yes,
I think everyone that's listening that comes to Oddmall and enjoys the Wi-Fi service should get down on their knees and thank Mr. Rick Shantari because he's the one who pays for the Wi-Fi. So
awesome.
All praise be unto Rick
Shantari.
Thank
you, sir.
You're the Wi-Fi pimp. We like that.
Wi-Fi pimp.
Also, hey, can we put that on the page? Hmm? Rick Santori, Wi-Fi pimp.
We'll put that on the
page.
Also, Heather just walked in the room, but she doesn't know this. We've already talked to Rick about it. Sometime within the month before Oddmall, we're going to have Heather and Rick on the show and actually have a cosplay-themed show, guys.
Sweet.
Talking about cosplay, how it works. Rick's been doing it for years. Heather's getting into it. She's been doing it for a couple of years now.
He's better at it than I am.
So,
I've been cosplaying Danny DeVito for years.
Yeah. But since no cosplay is such a large part of Oddmall,
right.
We're going to, on the ramp up to the spring Oddmall, we're going to actually have a cosplay-themed show. So that you guys can get some idea of what it, because some of you geeksters may have heard of cosplay, but don't know what it actually entails.
That's
so,
true.
We're going to have them on.
Some people have been doing it without realizing what they were doing.
Exactly.
Right. That's true.
Well, that actually gets into, Vicky, with some of the stuff, what we did yesterday.
The
University
Meatheads?
Of Akron, huh?
Is that the Meatheads?
Meatheads?
Yeah, the sports guys.
Oh, well, yeah. But, yeah, they've been doing it, don't know what it, they would never say they're doing it. But, the sports fans have been cosplaying for eons, but that, they won't call it that, they won't claim it. But no, Vicky and I went to the University of Akron yesterday, had a one-day ZipCon. It was the third year they've had, it was actually an anime con. But they had a lot of video games and stuff there, but like, oh, it was, had to have been at least 75% of everybody there was cosplaying as something. There was a lot of anime, obviously, and furries and things like that.
I was going to say, yeah, I
but
had some friends who
there was a
they
lot
were talking
of superheroes.
About the furries.
Oh, there were some great furry costumes and stuff. Some of the really detailed heads and stuff. It was amazing. But there was a lot of superhero costumes also. It was
yeah.
a great
Several
time.
That were, like, not sure what.
I don't know if you can call anime cons anime, just anime anymore. They're anime cosplay cons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have every type of different cosplay from ones that have nothing to do with anime to some really detailed anime ones. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of time that they put into those costumes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I know they had all kinds, and actually probably half of the panels they had for the day were about cosplay. And how to cosplay, how to buy, where to buy it if you need to, how to make it yourself. They had one that was about the cos positivity, which I guess is actually about how to help other people through cosplay.
We have somebody who may be doing that.
Yeah,
yeah.
We were Kylan and I were talking to this week about it. So,
upcoming show, yes,
that's right. Well, you know, I was doing a little research about I don't know several months ago because you know I'm an Elvis fan. And I didn't realize that
Wait. Someone from Memphis is an Elvis fan?
Actually, I used to hate Elvis until I moved up
Most
here.
Most people in Memphis don't like Elvis because...
But once I moved up here, I saw all of a sudden I didn't have Elvis in my life, and I realized I actually liked the guy.
You needed
so
Elvis
now you appreciate Elvis, but you live in Akron, so you don't appreciate LeBron James.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Hey, I thought LeBron James was awesome until he left. I didn't like the way he left.
I was so arrested at Graceland.
Of course.
Andy,
why is that not
Andy has you almost.
Andy's so, got this shadow side of his life where he's been almost arrested everywhere.
So,
he always
so
talks
nice.
His way out of it somehow.
People don't know about Andy's other side. You're outing yourself, Andy. You're outing yourself.
It was never
yourself.
A secret. I said almost.
Almost.
I wasn't the one that did anything wrong. It was
he
my
wasn't,
association.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I get there. Yeah. So I didn't realize that Elvis was a huge Captain Marvel fan. But Shazam. And so that's the reason why he was wearing jumpsuits.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he had a cape, right? And one day, when Don's mom was here, and she really doesn't get the whole, like, cosplay
thing.
She
doesn't get the geek thing in
She doesn't get the geek thing. And so,
even though
Kylan comes out, and I'm like, I'm going to tell your mom that... I'm going to tell your mama that Elvis was a big cosplayer because he liked Captain Marvel. And he was cosplaying Captain Marvel on stage. That's why he had the cape.
Is that a true story?
True, yeah.
I had no idea. So his lightning bolt. That's Shazam's lightning bolt.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he had the short cape. Because Captain Marvel, you know, he had the short... And she had to talk me back from the edge. I was going to do it.
Don't do it.
I was so ready to do it, and I didn't do it. But yeah, Elvis was cosplaying...
See, I didn't
before
know
anybody else, well, I mean, you had people in Hollywood cosplay, but Elvis was cosplaying.
It was, technically speaking, everyday cosplay for Elvis.
It was.
Yeah. Well, you had cosplay way back. We discussed it with you before, Heather, with Doctor Who and stuff, where they had Doctor Who conventions back in the 60s, didn't they?
Yeah. There were
in England and stuff. And there were people who would dress up as Doctor Who back then.
It didn't really have the, you know,
well,
cosplay name.
Dressing up
but,
for Star Trek
yeah.
conventions.
Yeah, the Star Trek
like
conventions
three
since the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Three centuries. Well, there's a time travel story.
Oh, that's true.
What we were saying on that last show was that actually the Whovians have been doing it a little bit longer.
Yeah. That's just because Who came out a couple years earlier. That's all.
And he's got a time machine.
Yeah,
exactly. Much, much longer.
So
all of space and time.
Right.
No, but there are people who probably cosplay like Flash Gordon and stuff like way back.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not 100.
Actually, at this point, almost is.
Yeah.
It's like 80, 90 years now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
I remember, in the summer of 04.
Flash turned 75.
Just a couple years ago.
So
it is closing in on 100.
Right. Which I didn't realize that Flash had been around that long. I'm like, 75 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because all the serials and everything.
Yeah, I think Batman and Superman are both
75.
Superman's reaching close to 80.
Yeah, because Batman just turned 75.
Yeah.
Batman was like 2 years. Was last year, wasn't it? Because they had the stamps.
So Superman was 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Because Superman was a year before Batman.
Because they had all that commemorative stuff my mom brought from Toronto.
Oh, that's right.
They had Superman stamps in Toronto and everything like that. My mom brought us a whole bunch of stuff.
So, Kylan, you Mr. Marvel, when do we get to the first Marvel 75th anniversary character?
75th?
It's got to be coming
actually, Captain America turned 75 this year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
You're going to try it. Catch me sleeping?
The thing with Marvel is the fact that there was no official Marvel comics.
It was Timely
until
comics.
The
60s. That's right. Yeah.
So, and most of the characters that Timely had didn't make it. They've had, what, there's four or five that have actually made it to now?
Yeah, but technically speaking, Superman wasn't a DC character in the beginning.
It was National Comics, but that's because DC Comics didn't exist.
You had Human Torch, Submariner, Captain America, and...
I think there was one more that's made it that's actually still a mainstream.
Although, we should have a moment of silence for Submariner. Marvel kind of took care of him.
Well, that happened a couple months ago. He'll be back. It's comic books. He'll be back.
We'll have a second to silence now, and in a couple months, we'll have a second back. To celebration.
You have to wait for, like, the cyborg version of the Submariner.
Oh, I do have something to say here. I did have a bit of bad, sad news. I had one of my favorite professors die, and she was, like, a huge influence on me. She was really a amazing woman, lived a phenomenal life, and she really encouraged me to explore all that life had to offer. And she's taken away way too soon, but I just like to say that I really am thankful for having Dr. G. Ann Livingston to have touched my life for those 4 years. When I was at Union, and I know that she is in a better place. I just want to say that.
She helped make you the geek you are.
She did. She really did. Wow. Yeah.
So what did she teach while you were there?
She taught interdisciplinary studies, modern East Asia, and she was over the honors program.
Oh, okay.
So, she helped with that kung fu aspect.
Yeah,
all those kung fu movies.
And she, well, you know, saying it. Although, I mean, she actually, I ended up finding out that she ended up working with the U.S. Army to help develop peace initiatives for better relations between the military and the indigenous peoples in foreign countries. And she actually was part of a peace think tank in Canada, which kind of confirms. I had a feeling that she may have done some other stuff that was not totally...
Super secret spy stuff.
Yeah, I had this feeling about her.
She's probably doing something that she couldn't talk about.
Yeah. When you meet her, if you ever met her, you kind of got that feeling, because she knew stuff that a professor wouldn't just know, an average professor wouldn't know, but... So, yeah.
So she was a secret agent woman.
I had the feeling, yeah. Yeah, so...
Cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, one more thing before we get into the movies we're talking about today. Geeksters, we got, we've been saying it's coming up. The week after the Meeple show next week, we're actually going to have Michael Witwer on the show with us, the author of Empire of Imagination. Anybody who wants to check out this book, it's the Gary Gygax biography book. If you go to Amazon through the link on our website, you can pick up the book. I think it's $20 or $25 for the book.
Something like that.
It's $20 or less. But also, if you go through Amazon on Audible, through Amazon, you can actually get the audiobook read by Sam Witwer, which is Michael's brother, for $17.95. And it's only 7.5 hours on the audiobook. So if you guys want to listen to it before the show, that way you know the book he's talking about.
Hey, if you have Prime, it's $17.77 for the book.
For the book?
And Amazon, don't forget to use the Geek Watch
one. Use the Geek Watch
one. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you can buy the book or the audiobook for the same price.
And support the show at the same time.
That's right. And I think they have a deal, they said, if you buy the Kindle version, which is like $10, it's like an extra $7 to buy the audio version that goes with it. So hey, for the same price, you get the Kindle and the audio. There's multiple ways to get this book to check it out, guys. Also, we've seen with downloads and stuff, you guys aren't sending us emails letting us know what you want to see, but we've seen through who's listening that you guys really like our interview shows. So we're working on getting more and more interviews so that for you guys. Like we said, we're going to have Rick and Heather on here talking cosplay coming up. We got Michael Whitworth's going to be on here. Seth Breedlove said he's going to come back on when it's time for Whitehall to come on. So we're working on more interviews. We're going to get more and more of that. And then, like I've said before, if you email us at KylanandKen@gmail.com, let us know what you like. Do you like our
actually,
interview
shows? There were some comments on the Facebook page earlier this week.
Okay.
And actually, there were some of the listeners said that they would like to have us go into some more, what do you call it? I guess, what did you call it? I said meteor content, not talking about ham.
Oh, but, yeah, I saw when you guys posted about that. So,
Kylan basically asked people if they wanted a little more substance. Some of the issues that come up in the geek community, and people seemed positive across the board.
Yeah, they would like to see us.
So we'll have stuff like that,
not to make the show too heavy, but they like to see us kind of tackle some,
toss it in there every once in a while.
Yeah, we'll work on that. I'm working on lists for that.
Let's just do it right now, spontaneously. One hump camels or two? Which is better?
Two.
I'm not touching this one because this can go the wrong direction way too quickly.
It can
get us out of the safe for work region pretty quickly.
It's a camel.
It's a camel.
According to the book, everybody poops. Two hump camels have two hump poops.
That's right.
And that is family friendly.
Yes. And you've learned something today.
Yes, one hump camel has one hump poops. Two hump camels have two hump poops.
But then it says only kidding after that.
Uh-oh.
You have to read the book!
Make them read the book! You just spoiled the ending!
And if you want to know what kind of poop whales have, read the book.
Do they have, at the bottom of their feet, do they have hooves or do they have toes?
Toes.
I know. Camels have toes.
They do. That's
yes, but let's not go down the other route there,
Kylan.
What?
Stop. You're trying to get it down the wrong road.
What are you talking about? I did not say anything. I was saying that they have hooves and toes.
No, you're
not. I am not.
This is what happens when you flush the format.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
I'm not a biologist.
Yeah.
I'm not a biologist. I'm just saying.
But
anyway.
Okay. Well, Kylan. Anybody who hasn't seen the movie Ice Pirates, Kylan, he saw it for the first time this week.
I did. Changed
so,
my life.
So, Kylan, what was your just initial impression of this movie when you saw it? This was 1984, and it's actually, we'll just give a quick synopsis of the plot. Basically, it's way in the, eons in the future, like most space movies are, a Buck Rogers-style space movie. So, but at this point, the only thing of any value left in the universe is water. So, you have pirates who basically raid convoys that are carrying ice. So, that makes them ice pirates. And it's the adventures of this crew of pirates. And
it stars Robert Urich.
Yeah. But Robert Urich is Jason, the lead pirate. And they basically meet a space princess. Oh, wow. This is a science fiction movie with a space princess. But they meet a space princess and go on this journey to find this other world that's full of nothing but water to save the water shortage of the rest of the universe. So, Kylan, what was your impressions of this movie?
Well, did you like it when he knocked your head on the wall, on the door when he left with her?
It was a fun movie. It was pretty much all I expected. And
you weren't expecting much.
I wasn't expecting much.
Bad
type. But see, the thing is, it wasn't... I don't know. I think I've seen... It's definitely one of those movies where a little bit goes a long way. You know? It was... Although there were some really funny moments. Like the robot pimp.
I said the pimp bot.
The pimp bot. That was your favorite. I know.
I'm like a pimp bot and
That's that moment.
The little organism that was running through the ship.
You can say it. The ship had space herpes.
Space herpes. Yes.
Okay, that one got past the sensors.
Yeah.
That's the sensors.
Yes.
Well,
and then there was. Yeah. Wow. But just this, wow. I think wow was probably
so for a horrible knockoff of Star Wars. What did you think?
See,
I've seen worse.
See, I didn't see it as a knockoff of Star Wars. I mean, it had some of the stuff Star Wars, like Space
Princess.
Find
an article that does not mention Star Wars when talking about this
movie.
But
that's because anything early 80s that had anything to do with sci-fi, they called it a Star Wars knockoff.
Well, because it was intended to be a space opera. It's the same sort of story.
But the one thing I did notice before that I watched on this one was how many of the classic pirate and seafaring tropes were in this movie. You get swashbuckling, everybody's running around with swords, everybody's swinging from rafters.
And it makes no sense to have a sword in space.
Exactly.
Really. And the Templars.
And they're dressed like pirates.
And the Templars had armor and
chainmail.
And chainmail.
In space. All the tech looks like they had actually taken extra props and things from the Buck Rogers late 70s, early 80s TV show to make this.
Then there's the whole
sword any less effective against somebody if they're in space?
Or when they're shooting you with lasers.
Chainmail weighs lower gravity, so it doesn't weigh you down as much as it
does. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And remember, what they've said in other places that a sword never runs out of bullets.
No, it doesn't. It does not. And now, mind you, having played Traveler, which is like an older RPG.
Oh, yeah, I love Traveler.
You remember? And you could. I think my character actually carried a sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I'm not against swords in space. I'm all for it. Okay? But the whole... Here's another thing that kind of bothered me. You have pirates that were sort of like, I don't know, 1800s, maybe? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, there's these knights who are middle ages, and I'm like, all of a sudden, we're in the future, and they're mixing?
Anyway. Yeah, why not?
I don't know. It's okay.
Hey, Kylie, it was Mad Max meets Spaceballs.
It's true. But
yes.
Has Star Trek taught us nothing? There are different levels of civilization. Some just haven't advanced that far yet.
That's right. Now that there's different cultures in the universe. People are so close-minded about other civilizations.
But Kylie,
look at you.
I'm sorry.
What about the Black Ninja Bot?
The Black Ninja Bot.
That was fantastic.
That was fantastic, although the Black Ninja Bot got it.
And the fact that he asked him why he made it black, and he said because he wanted him to be perfect.
What about the assembly line?
Oh, you mean...
the Chomper.
Yeah.
There's a factory that creates eunuchs, and that's all we're going to say on this one.
It just comes.
It's conveyor belt in the conveyor line to get it to prep everybody to make service.
It's like the Looney Tunes version.
Yeah, basically.
You got the old guy that's shaving them, shaking, and you got another one giving him the eye.
Yeah, imagine an 85-year-old guy that has the shakes coming at you with a straight razor to give you a shave.
Mm-hmm. But I found online. Its release. The New York Times described this as, quote, a busy, bewildering, exceedingly jokey science fiction film that looks like a Star Wars spinoff made in an underdeveloped galaxy.
That's about right.
Wow.
But that's what makes this movie so great.
Amazingly, at the time, it was a moderate success because it had a $9 million budget and made just over $14 million.
I saw it in the theater.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on videotape at some point. My dad had it.
And it currently ranks higher on Rotten Tomatoes than Fantastic Flop. It's at 9%.
Well, if I remember right, Gem and the Holograms ranks higher than the Fantastic Flop.
Anything is higher than Fantastic Flop.
Man,
I mean, but it was it was worth watching.
It was worth watching.
Just pause.
After watching that, I really, really wanted to watch the pirate movie.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the next one you got to bring over so we can check it out.
We'll pick it up. But yeah, I had this urge to watch the pirate movie.
It definitely gave you more of an urge to watch a piratey movie than a space movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it just because of the feel of it.
It did. I mean, because the truth is, it was more of a pirate movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. Because the truth is, if you took all the action and you just moved it over to a ship, it would have been the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. It would have been
Except you wouldn't have been searching for water, because if it was a pirate movie, they'd be on a ship.
Well, you know. the water becomes redundant at that
They'd be searching for their treasure. It's really just searching for the treasure, saving the princess.
But then the princess was cold at one point.
But it's... Kylan enjoyed that a little bit too much, I think.
No. I was just making an observation, that's all.
What about the scene, though? There's like they're going through a time warp or something. Everyone's
yeah,
aging.
The big fight scene.
Yeah, that was actually
big old afro. Oh my god!
That for this type of movie, that one I was actually impressed how well they pulled that off. They actually for the last 5 or 10 minutes of the movie, yep. The final fight scene is all done basically in fast forward jumps because they're going through a time warp where 1 second could be 3 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the further they get into it, the bigger the time gap for every second
exactly.
or something.
And yeah.
So they ended up basically old and decrepit, and it gives time for someone else to come and save the day. But then, at the very end, they're all back to themselves again.
Exactly.
But you already know that something is...
Yeah, but you already know something's going on.
Yes.
So, Geeksters, from our... you know what? We're going to bring out the brownie scale. We've not had the brownie scale for a while.
It's been a while. Bring out the brownies.
What do we have? It's 5 brownies, right?
Out of 5 brownies. Now, everybody, who all seen... Rick, you've seen the movie, right?
Yes.
You remember enough about it to give us a rating on this?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Miss Vicky, we're going to start with you. How many brownies out of 5 brownies would you give Ice Pirates?
3 out of 5.
Kylan, how many brownies you got on this one?
Come on.
2.5.
2.5 brownies?
Yeah.
Rick?
3.
A 3 brownie?
Mm-hmm.
I'd give it 2 brownies.
Okay. Andy, how many you got?
I'm going to give it 3 brownies, but one of them has a bunch of cat hair in it.
A qualified 3 brownies.
Okay. Miss Heather?
I'm not qualified to rate it.
You've not seen it?
Oh, I've attempted to watch it twice and fallen asleep both times.
Oh.
Well, you can rate it based on that, though. Does that get a 1?
What kind of brownies was she eating?
Well, me... we've not talked about it much on the show, but I have a lot of love for the old Buck Rogers TV show, the Battlestar Galactica, the stuff that I grew up watching. In that vein, I would give it 3.5, almost 4 brownies, because it's in the vein with those. If you love those early 80s science fiction shows, this is those shows in a movie.
If you want them made less well.
Well.
I
haven't seen this movie in about 20 years.
That's not true. The last time I fell asleep attempting to watch it was like 15 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, 15 years, so possibly. But I used to love the movie.
Right.
But the thing is, it's a comedy movie. It's not meant to be taken seriously.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
It's supposed to be stupid.
It's not necessarily something you need to rewatch either. It's kind of just
that's
like,
where mine comes in, the 3.5 to 4 in that range.
I mean, for the movie, it's the best. I would say it is definitely the best movie I've ever seen about water searching pirates in space. No, wait, I take that back, because wasn't there that one cartoon one?
What?
There was like a Sinbad in space or something.
May have been. Are you talking about Dark Water?
No, but that would be good. Pirates of Dark Water, but that was a TV show. No?
Yeah, Pirates of Dark Water was really good.
But the consensus looks like it's about a 3 on the brownie meter, which actually makes it an average movie, guys. So it definitely is worth a watch if you get a chance to see it somewhere. I'm sure this is something that you might catch on a like midnight or 3 a.m. on like a on one
show
of these shows.
We did show it at Con on the Cob 1 year.
Okay.
And we used to do this thing that we called COTC3K, which was like MST3K, where we'd watch a bad movie and encourage people to talk through it and make fun of it. We did Superman 4 1 year.
Oh!
The Quest for Peace.
We may have to bring this back.
But, yeah, Ice Pirates was a blast at that, although I wasn't present at the moment.
Yeah.
We heard that one over a while.
Yeah.
We might have to do a panel of that this year or something.
That'd be fine.
Yeah. I know the panel people that scheduled this type of thing, so.
For what?
Do it like his COT, where we sit there and make fun of a bad movie.
Do a late night panel.
We'll bring in like Battle for the Stars or something.
Oh, Battle Beyond the Stars.
Yeah, Battle Beyond the Stars.
Crawl.
Crawl.
Crawl. Crawl. I like Crawl.
Of course, you like everything.
Wait, I'll chime in on Crawl, because when I saw Crawl when it first came out in the theater, it was like the coolest movie ever.
Yeah, it was.
It was awesome. And
don't watch it now.
A couple of years ago, and I'm like, 12-year-old me still thinks this is awesome.
Right.
But like,
now,
40-year-old me. Is like, why are they always mixing, like they do in Ice Pirates, they're mixing like Renaissance people
right
with like robots and stuff. Like, Like, why did you have puffy sleeves and stuff?
I have to tell you, though, that was part of my restraint on not watching Doctor Who, because I knew it was a genre mixer, and that does it very, very well.
Yes.
Yeah. But I like Crawl,
but see, you know, it depends. It's sort of like how now we had this whole thing with space westerns.
Yeah.
But see, for some reason, space westerns work for me. And I'm okay with the whole space Renaissance thing, but it has to be done well.
At least the outfits in space westerns make a little more sense, though. There's no poofy sleeves.
That's true.
You're not going to trip over something.
No.
Ice mining.
No, I've seen something I've seen long ago.
Okay. Well, we've made a good long ways, and now transitioning from a mediocre to good, decent 80s sci-fi movie to a modern movie, which was okay. Miss Dawn's gonna slap me if she was right beside me. See, that's why I sit across the room from her.
If she was a true fan, she'd chop you in half.
Yes, we're gonna talk Deadpool. Yeah. Now, the only thing I say is this guy is still say family friendly, but we're gonna spoil everything out.
Like I said, we're not gonna give direct quotes from the movie.
Exactly.
So we're fine.
As long as we don't quote any lines, we should be okay. So, where do we want to start with this? Ms. Dawn, I'm gonna turn it over to you and let you direct this.
I think we should start with the fact that it is now on Deadpool is now on track to become the highest grossing R-rated movie in history globally. And it's almost at 500 million at this point. And also making it the highest grossing X-Men movie in the history of the franchise.
It is
technically
an X-Men movie. It's an X-Men movie.
And, do you know what my little X-Men heart does when you say that? It all like, ugh. It flops.
It leaps in joy because this is a fantastic movie. And I mean, this
you're
second
from the other side of the X family.
The second weekend of release, it dropped as all films do, but it still stayed in first place with approximating around a 55 million.
Jeez.
For February, that's actually a really good second week.
Second place is Kung Fu Panda 3 at 12.5 million. So a huge gap between first and second at this point.
Well, you got to think, usually a January-February movie, even a really big one, you hit about 70 to 80 million for the first week.
Yeah.
Because January, February, March, until the last year or so, has been where, you know what? This movie's not going to make it up against the heavy hitters. Let's throw it in this time frame where no one else is out there, and we can get some money.
Or you get, like, the better second run of the Oscar contenders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At this time of year.
That's true.
So, the other thing I wanted to point out, well, two things, was that in the opening weekend, Deadpool was number one in 60 out of the 61 markets it opened in. Apparently something's wrong with Poland, because that's where it didn't open number one. They wanted to go see some love story or something. But quite literally, there was a love story that got first place. But I also want to point out that in Russia, which Ken's going to hate me for this, it beat the opening weekend of Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Eh.
It's only one country, but I don't care. It still beat Star Wars.
It is Russia. That's because Putin wouldn't let half the people go see Star Wars.
Well, because it said Star Wars, they're not allowed to see it. too much of the Reagan era there.
Yeah. And see, Putin was in the KGB back then, so he remembered Star Wars from then and said, no way, like, no one's allowed to see it.
The numbers aren't huge in Russia just generally, even for Star Wars.
It's because no one in Russia has money.
Having earned their opening box office, it was only 12.3 million. So,
that's because most of Russia's broke.
Exactly.
Get that on me.
So Deadpool made it with 13.1.
Okay.
So one country. And then there's, of course, we all know because of what was said at the end of the movie about, we all know there's a sequel already. Mm-hmm. I think we discussed already that there's a sequel. They're in the midst of writing it.
Didn't we know there was a sequel before the movie was actually released?
Yes. They greenlit it before the movie was released, and they started writing it already. And basically they said they don't want a big budget. They want to stay the way they were for this movie because they don't need a big budget. They kind of liked that they had to force it with a smaller budget.
Like Ms. Vicky just brought up, the Deadpool 2, is that still taking the Fantastic Four 2 spot? Is it the same place still?
They haven't released anything
for their
about,
release schedule?
About the schedules.
Okay.
But I mean, what it is Deadpool got the second before they did.
Yeah, they were actually taught. This summer when the Fantastic Flop flopped, They had already mentioned that they were talking about putting Deadpool 2 in that spot.
Instead of all the buzz it was getting and everything
already. Fox is really squatting on the rights to that, so they want to keep producing things with that name, regardless of how well they do.
I have a crazy out there theory that we're going to get to in a little bit about the whole Fox squatting on things. We were talking about this the other day. This is not going to... Wait. This is not going to go the way direction it sounds.
What does the fox say? Sorry.
What does the fox squat?
No, when we get to the talking about the end of the movie, then I got a theory about Fox.
But, okay, we know the... Vicky should go ahead and say the spoiler that she wanted to say last week that Ken had to bleep.
Who's in the sequel, Vicky?
The funny part is everybody was talking, so everybody only heard like half what I said. What I said is that Betty White was going to play Cable in the second one.
Even on the audio, I couldn't hear her mention Betty White.
Right.
All I heard her say was Cable.
That's because everybody was talking and no one even heard a half of what I said.
Now, any Deadpool fans kind of squeed like I did at this moment. I think I'm the only one who kind of yelled in the theater when it said Cable. Even though I knew it was coming.
I did too.
I kind of knew it was coming, but...
How many actors have been saying, I want to play Cable, right. I want to play Cable.
Can I tell you, because I love Cable... I was like, it's Fox, and it's another character I really like. Sure, hey, they did Deadpool right. Right.
I do have to say one thing, though.
I don't know if I can trust them.
But they did Cable. Colossus right.
Saying
and
that.
Cable comes in. They did Colossus
they
right
finally gave
this
Colossus
time.
A
right.
How many tries do you need
I know.
To get Colossus right?
I still say...
Four actors.
Yeah. Four actors to do it right.
But I still say Colossus was my favorite character in this show, in this movie.
He did a good job. He was...
Ken, the Boy Scout.
The Boy Scout.
Boy Scout like, character.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
Surprise.
Well, see, I'm trepidatious about the Cable thing.
Right. Well, remember.
Story, thankfully, it's Deadpool, so we don't have to deal with it terribly much, but that's a very inaccessible story.
That's the thing. Like, it's Cable's been around for so much longer than Deadpool has, but Deadpool first appears in a Cable story
with
New Mutants, although technically he's a bad guy at the time.
I have those.
So it's. I'll be interested to see exactly how they bring Cable in, and if it's going to be with he and Deadpool at odds, if Cable's going to basically be the Ajax of the next movie, and he'll be the bad guy in Deadpool's world.
See, my thought from the very beginning when they cast Marina Baccarin was, is she Domino? Huh? Mm-hmm. I want Domino. Can I get Domino?
Right.
And then she's quasi-Domino? You get
Well, she's
hits?
technically Vanessa is copycat.
Okay.
So
this is after I stopped reading.
But the thing is, in New Mutants, when Deadpool is supposed to kill Domino,
right.
Domino's being played by Copycat at the time, but you don't find out for a couple years.
Right.
So the question is, are they going to let Vanessa come out with powers in the second one? Is she going to become Copycat somehow?
Well, Vicky saw a story about Vanessa, too, that you probably did, too. But
Mystery Death Mistress or whatever.
Mistress of Death.
I saw the theory that she could be Death, which is Deadpool's biggest love.
Okay, that's what we're going to ask next.
Mistress Death was Deadpool's biggest love, and that a lot of people had problems with Vanessa being the love interest because Deadpool would not go to those ends for her. He would only have gone to those ends to kind of save the princess if it was Mistress Death. And I did see the fan theory about it being her because... she shows up when he's sick. She's there when he gets the diagnosis that he's going to die. She basically survives at the end. She survives that massive fall that should have killed someone.
Yeah, it should have killed her, honestly.
Yeah,
because really the integrity of the thing that she's riding has already been compromised.
And just prior to that, when she sees that he's still alive, she's really upset that he's not dead. Because they can never be together because he can't die. That's kind of like their whole little love story.
Okay.
Because she's Mistress Death, she can only be with the dead. And he can never die, so he can't really be with her. So she seems upset that he's still alive for different reasons than the obvious that, you know, he never came back to get her earlier. So there is that fan theory that perhaps she's Mistress Death. So now it's a question of, is that who she was, or is she going to become Copycat and somehow get... My little thing about her being Copycat is when she was put into that chamber by Ajax at the end fight, is it possible that she was in there just long enough to trigger something?
That's what I was
wondering. And when Deadpool flings his katana to basically break the airlock on it, it seemed like they spent a little too much time showing her pulling the blade out and bleeding on it.
Yes.
Right.
You know, so the fact of her being in there plus her blood being exposed, I'm wondering if something comes to effect.
If I remember right, like when they did that with Deadpool and put him through the program, didn't they have to actually pump him with chemicals and or the serums and stuff? I don't remember. It wasn't just the pod, but he had
something latently inside him still.
But they had to give him a serum to activate that.
That's why they can't control what it is. Yeah, you don't necessarily
never,
have to...
If she was never administered that serum...
You don't necessarily have to have the serum, though, if the mutant factor is in you.
Okay.
That was just to bring it out.
Well, yeah, that's... For years of mutants, it's been... something could actually activate the mutant
genes.
Exactly.
You can have it that way.
So,
we also don't know what was done in the time that Ajax had her.
Exactly. He seemed to have her for a little bit.
And if he went through the bother to pull out that chamber again...
Yeah.
Who knows what else
exactly.
he had.
Exactly. So I think part of the next movie, if they decide to go that way, will show you a little bit of... we'll kind of backtrack on that. And then, like I said, it depends what they decide to do with Cable. And for those who don't know, Cable is significant in the X universe just in general.
He's as far as the overall sort of familial relations between characters, he's a very large part of that.
Right. Well, he's the son, don't jump around it.
This is spoiler filled, so
he's the son of Scott Summers and a cloned Jean Grey.
Madeline Pryor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Right.
And
from one of my favorite storylines ever. I love Inferno. I named my kid Ileana after magic. There's a reason I love
really?
That is why
I always wondered. I did not. Oh, yeah,
she's Colossus's little sister. Did you not know? Yeah, I was like, Andy, are we cursing her by giving her this name? I mean, mutant demon sorceress. That's a good name, right?
Why not?
magic is cool. I always liked magic.
I picked that name when I was like 12 or 13 from that character, and I just held on to it.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, yeah. Now, I have a question because, like, do you guys remember the 1990 X-Men series?
Yes.
Now, and, you know, Cable, there were a couple storylines where Cable figured kind of prominently.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that for the listeners who maybe, not to discourage you from going back to the comic source, because I always say do that first.
Right.
But... if you had access to the 90s series, would that be...
It will give you a good basis for who the character is, but the storyline is not the same.
Right, right. Okay. Mm.
I would say that cartoon was the best about giving you the essence of the characters.
Right.
Sort of what they needed to do later when they brought the movies out. It gives you the essence of the character. It sort of gives you an idea of their storyline, but it's not the same connections that you would get if you go to the comic source.
Well, right. the nice thing, though, if you anybody wants to actually go back and check out that 90s TV series, it's actually on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And you know how you can get to Amazon? You can go through our link on our website.
That's right.
I had no idea it was on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's every season's on Amazon Prime.
I liked that, but I always had like the tugging feeling that, oh, it's not right, but it's good and I like it, but it's not right.
Well, you got to think of nothing else. How many seasons were there of that? Like four or five. An 80s, 90s TV series, to make it 4 to 5 years, that means there was a lot of kids watching this show.
They had good stuff in it.
And Marvel picked up... the cartoon, that series in the comic form, I think is X-Men 90.
They did.
So
there was a comic line based on that series. So, I didn't.
there's too much stuff going on, all new, all different right now for me to.
It was too hard for me at the time because there was a lot of intricate plot line cross book.
Yeah.
At that time,
mm-hmm.
for me to try and reconcile what was going on in the main timeline mm-hmm. with what was going on. So I just ditched the cartoon altogether because
right.
it didn't really affect what carried on mm-hmm. in the X line.
And I think that's what Marvel now has worked so hard to make the cinematic universe line up with the television universe. Lined up with the comics.
Well,
that
helps make them money, too, because when new people come in from the movies, they can jump into the comic and sort of have a basis of where things are going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas I'm all like, I like all the old stuff that's missing.
Speaking of going into comics from the movies, I didn't realize that a lot of comics, I think you guys mentioned it on Mighty Marvel Geeks, that mm-hmm. The comics code seal is still on a lot of comics.
Yeah.
What you said about Deadpool, how do they put that? Because I've heard Deadpool actually carries the comics code seal. Now, as much as you're saying what they did with this movie, how does Deadpool able to adhere to the code.
He doesn't flat out curse in the comics. He gets those whole, you know, asterisks and exclamation points and all that kind of stuff going.
There aren't actual words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's just as violent as most of the other comics that you get. So that doesn't really affect it much.
True.
You know, there's deaths in it, just like there are in other comics. So the code itself...
He's always been lecherous. I mean, from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So that's
I mean, it's just the sense
either.
Of... He doesn't... The comics don't go over the top. Like, seeing it visually in the movies really is over the top when you're seeing the blood and the stuff that's going on. Any comic you read doesn't really give
there's
you that effect.
There's so much to fill in with your imagination.
Yeah, exactly.
In a comic. You know, Comics Code Authority, that's interesting, because thinking back to Ileana, there was a limited series, a four-part, that was her. Mm-hmm. It was her in Storm, but it was Ileana when she was in Limbo, and that was one of the first sets that Marvel published without the Comics Code Authority, because that's satanic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and you know, that organization is so random with some of their stuff.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. But Marvel has so often been like, you know what? We're gonna do it.
If they put it on there, cool. If they don't,
the thing is, for the most part now, people don't even notice.
Yeah,
one way or the other.
Kind of, and I don't know if you'll need to edit me for this or not. What I found kind of wrong is that they could publish that, which had no overt sexual anything. It didn't have bad language. All it was is it dealt with demons and limbo, and so it was kind of reminiscent of being satanic,
right?
Because there was magic. They published that without the Comics Code Authority. But when you get into Genosha with Rogue, when her powers are removed from her, she's raped in the main line, and that's published with Comics Code Authority.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's funny, because if you look in the 70s, remember the big controversy at DC? Was it Green Arrow, I think, that they had tour? Was it Green Arrow?
It was Green Arrow, Green Lantern.
Storyline with Roy... With the drug storyline, the Comics Code wouldn't put their seal on it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a Green Arrow, Green Lantern storyline, like when they gave them their joint book.
Yeah.
And Roy had gotten hooked on heroin.
Yeah.
And so...
And they were doing it as a PSA-style comic.
Right.
Talking about what happens with heroin and stuff, and just put it into their main story.
And
the Comics Code wouldn't give them the seal.
That just goes right back to what you're saying. It seems random and arbitrary, because the magic... line had nothing in it that was I mean I'd let my daughter read it. I told her when she was 10, you're named after this character. If you want to start somewhere, read these four books.
But
then at the same time, when she would get further into the line, they don't outright say what happened to Rogue, but they're very good about explaining what happened to her without using the R word.
Well, this goes into a lot of, in media in general, the not censorship, but just putting a ratings on things. The MPAA is notorious for this for movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you make a movie, you submit it to the Motion Picture Association of America, they're the one that give you your rating from G to NC-17. And what it is they'll give you your rating, and just give you a guideline of this is this part of the movie that maybe it was too much language, and that's all they'll say. They don't say there's this many F-bombs, there was this many this, there was this. There is no thing saying an R rating, you have to have this. It's arbitrary depending on the panel that's watching it and what they feel that you would get. So you recut or resubmit it, and then they'll give you their guideline of, well, we're giving you this rating because of language, sex, violence, whatever.
And it's a completely different committee that's
and
doing
exactly.
That.
And then you recut and resend back, and then all, you maybe when you're cut now it's an NC-17, and you don't know why. It's just because of, so you just got to kind of guess what it is that they're doing until you get to the rating you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks
that's
sounds
why
like the comics code is
something
the same
like Deadpool.
Thing.
It is. They're just like, we're just going for the R rating from the start.
Yeah. I guarantee if we could talk to the editors and stuff. They had to resubmit this at least 7 or 8 times to get it out of the NC-17.
Maybe.
Because, there is some of it is stupid. It's just too much violence to give an NC-17
The one thing is there's, which will be interesting when the extras come out on the Blu-ray and everything, which you can already pre-order, by the way.
Where can you pre-order that?
Through the Amazon link on GeekWatch.com.
But go ahead.
But they cut a lot of, like, between Ryan Reynolds and T.J. Miller... They are so completely off the rails.
I've heard some stuff
back and forth. Like I saw clips of a couple of the things they cut, and they said those weren't even the worst that they cut. They were like going off of each other. They got way, way, way offensive, and there was just stuff they knew they could, even if it was even though it was Deadpool and Weasel. they knew they could not put it in the movie, and they cut it before it even went to the board to get the rating. So it's going to be interesting to get the... They said technically there's not going to be a director's cut of the movie, but there's going to be a ton of extras because of all the stuff that they cut.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Cool.
Hold on. I want to get Julie's opinion, though. Julie,
yes.
Who is not a a diehard comic geek in the least.
No, not at all. Not into sci-fi, really.
Doesn't read comics. Not into sci-fi.
Not fantasy.
She and I went to this movie on Monday, mm-hmm. Well, a week ago. Julie, what did you think?
I loved it. It was awesome. It was hilarious. I went in with an absolutely open, fresh mind, and I was howling. I loved it.
I was so happy to hear her laughing at some of these jokes and that, and I'm like, oh good, she likes it.
I mean, I certainly know that I missed a lot, but, you know, a lot of it went over my head, but I will tell you that, I mean, I was expecting to just be, oh, okay, I don't get any of it, but he's just like a regular dude.
That's what's cool about the modern comic book movies now. If you sit down and watch even the X-Men that have had issues in their movies that they've had, they're still doing enough money to keep going making X-Men movies. Sure. But the X-Men movies, the Marvel movies all of those sit down, they do a very good job of filling in where you're at so you know where your story's starting, mm-hmm. and so you can follow these characters. They give you a good introduction to the character, especially the Phase 1 Marvel movies that did the origins for most of these characters. They're made so that the comics geeks love them.
Right.
Because they already know these characters to start with. They're just seeing, and all it is telling you what the minor changes of the backstory mm-hmm. is. But non-comics and the normal people that are out there that, well, not normal, but you know what I mean, the non-geek guys, can get out there and watch this movie within the first 20 minutes usually or so, you know who this person mm-hmm. is and you can get a good story.
Well, and in this case, Deadpool there was a lot of inside jokes. There were so many Easter eggs. There's a video out there. There's this one guy who does a lot of the Easter egg videos when movies come out. He reached more than 100 Easter eggs from this movie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's for the fans and the geeks, etc. But there are so many jokes and just asides and one-liners and stuff in this movie for everybody.
That's why when you said you were going to do the spoilers today, I'm like, it's hard to spoil things out of context.
Right.
That's what we were talking about last week.
Right. The other thing with what you were saying, Ken, is that it feels like Deadpool, specifically of all the Fox Marvel movies, feels like it could fit in with the MCU for a couple of reasons. One, Deadpool breaking the fourth wall. Obviously, mm-hmm. he would be the one to point out how ridiculous everything is.
Yeah.
But number two, it has that feel like the MCU movies do, where it has its independent subgenre. It's not just a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. It's like an homage to over-the-top revenge mm-hmm. movies.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
So it fits right into that line, regardless of the fact that it's not made by the same studio, and nor was it planned in the mm-hmm. same continuity.
And actually, we can get into that direction here. Kylan, what was the big surprise at the end of this movie that you were... What was the final set piece here?
Are you talking about...
Where were they fighting?
Oh, yeah.
Kyla loved this.
A helicarrier, and it's been confirmed.
Oh, it's obviously a helicarrier.
Yeah, it's been confirmed it was a helicarrier. I'm sitting there watching this.
They just couldn't call it a helicarrier.
No.
The concept art, he said he had to go as close as he could to a helicarrier without going over the line where it was called a helicarrier.
They're so cute about their words.
They are.
You're not allowed to say mutant. Okay, but you can't say helicarrier.
Exactly.
The thing was, it looked like the old school helicarrier. So, no, it had the turbofans instead of the ones now that have the ion technology from Stark. So, and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, because I'm looking in the back corner during the fight. I'm trying to pay attention to the fight scene, but I'm like, wait, that's a runway. I'm like, a carrier? I'm saying, why are you going to have a carrier? And then I look in the corner and I see a turbofan. And I'm like,
yeah.
And I think I leaned over to you and I'm
you
like,
you did. You said helicarrier. I'm like, shut up.
As it starts to fall over on its side.
Oh, yeah. You see it flips dead on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, it was, yeah, so...
This kind of falls into my crazy lame brain theory I told you guys I was going to have earlier about Fox sitting on some of these rights. What's the chances that the biggest secret in Hollywood is Marvel obviously talks with Fox, because they have these properties that are back and forth. And their
lawyers Marvel's name was on this movie too at the beginning.
Now, well, they've been in all of them because that's just part of having the rights to their things.
Yeah.
Now we know Fox and Sony. Now the reason we knew about Fox and Sony talking was because Sony can't keep a secret for nothing.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they start to keep a secret, someone's going to hack them and put it out on the internet.
Right.
That's the way it works. But that's just because they're Sony. But what's the chances that Fox and Marvel have been talking behind the scenes to start to work a deal similar to what they have with Sony so that they could actually integrate, if not the X-Men universe, the Fantastic Four universe, and still keep the rights to the Fantastic Four, but like Sony is, allow Marvel to make the movies and then they do the distributing. That's what they're doing with Spider-Man, isn't it?
Right.
That Marvel is making this new Spider-Man movies, but Sony gets the rights to distribute them and get the money off of them.
And Marvel can still use Spider-Man in their own
exactly.
movies.
Right.
So what would be the chances that Fox and Marvel are working behind the scenes also and just keeping a better secret?
Well, you can look at that helicarrier as being one of the few that were downed in Captain America.
Exactly.
That's true. I mean, because
that's why I'm saying, what's the chances here that we're looking at the beginnings of a deal that they've actually been able to keep a secret.
I mean, because it seems like they got way too close to be obviously being a helicarrier for them to get away with it.
I mean, and you saw like the whole center part was out,
right? Exactly,
and it looked
like something had crashed and they were repairing it.
And I'm like, okay.
So another one that we're wondering the crossover here, guys, between the possible companies was there was actually a mainstream Marvel, which would be a cinematic character that actually got slipped into this movie somehow.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess I was told it's one of Deadpool's major villains, isn't it?
No. But, are we talking about someone from Hydra?
Quite possibly. There is a Hydra presence in this movie.
There is. There's a Hydra presence without being called Hydra, for sure. And near the end, as just before he gets onto the quote-unquote helicarrier, he meets Bob. Anyone who's read Deadpool knows that his best friend's name is Bob. It's Hydra Bob, and he's Deadpool's best friend, and they're frenemies in various times. But yeah, Bob is in the film, and you know he's working for Hydra, so technically Hydra Bob got in the film.
Mm-hmm. And somehow they got it past Marvel, unless there's a backdoor deal going down that no one knows about.
But, I mean, technically speaking, you could have any character named Bob.
Yeah.
That's true. That was the thing. He was just enough Bob for the Deadpool fans to be like, hey, that's... But he was just enough.
Yeah, he knew him. He was in. Was it Jacksonville?
Yeah.
With him, so he has a history with Bob.
Well, there's
and he was just enough Bob for the Marvel attorneys to be like, eh, it's Bob.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking between the helicarrier and Bob, and I'm sure there was other stuff in there that either we didn't catch or no one's seen yet and figured it out yet. That either. There is a backdoor deal talking, or they wanted to leave it open that they could do something with it.
Well, you know, thing is, Marvel, there's a difference between Marvel still wins, regardless of if it's Marvel Studios that's producing a film, or if it's Fox that's producing a film. Marvel still wins. So they're not going to go against their own interest. Now, it's true, Marvel is not going to actively market Fox properties. They're not going to actively do it.
But hey, but if you notice this time around, based on the popularity of Deadpool in general, Marvel didn't kill anything prior to the movie.
That whole scene, though, if you looked at that Bob scene, it was the type of scene that, if needed, they could cut it and it wouldn't have made any difference in the movie.
And technically, Bob lives.
Yeah.
Deadpool killed a lot of people to spell out the name Francis.
Yeah.
But Bob was not dead when he dragged him over.
Right.
So Bob could come back.
So, yeah, and like I said, that was a scene that it didn't have any impact on the movie at all.
Right.
No.
So if they were challenged, they could have pulled that and no one even known it was ever made.
And that was really one of the in-references.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but that says that Marvel Studios obviously got to look at this movie before it was put out.
Right.
That's just the way it works. And they didn't have a problem with that scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a problem with the helicarrier because that would have been actually in the script.
Right.
Yes.
So that was something that was that was actually in some of the panels.
Yeah, they had the concept art. Like
the concept art was there before
them. So
okay.
And Marvel was okay with it. They had to approve it. And like I said, the thing is, it's different enough that it does not resemble their current versions of the helicarriers.
Right.
So.
And really, it's it's not something that the norms are going to get.
No, they're not.
So they're not concerned about that. I mean, they wouldn't know what a helicarrier was anyways if you put it out there full blown with the shield emblem on it.
No.
So, well, this it was enough to get by.
Well, this is a conversation we're going to have off and on, I think, for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, we have to watch, we have another Fox X Universe movie coming this year.
Yep.
We have a couple of Marvel movies coming, so we get to see what's going on here and if it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I got one more place I'd like to go before we wrap this up today, and that's a big I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the Geeksters, I didn't have time to get to this last week, but we saw the second half of the... You good? Bless you. But we saw the second half of the Flash two-part Earth 2 episode this week.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first part, I have a big I told you so to tell everybody.
Go ahead.
2 years ago, we saw the premiere of Flash.
Right.
And we saw in the hidden room, they had the newspaper from, what was it, 2022?
Yep.
It talks about the crisis averted by the Flash. And everybody who knows DC Comics knows about the Crisis on Infinite Earths, the original 1980s reboot of the entire DC universe.
Right.
Well, I said at that point that they would never be allowed to do this, which I'm crazy. It's crazy that they're thinking about it now. But because of the way the DC works with their multiverse, every universe is a totally different feel, but you're in the same world.
Right.
But I said, would it be crazy if the DC multiverse was everything that's ever been on TV is another world for DC Comics? The Batman 66 world is out there. It's an alternate Earth. It's maybe Earth 27.
Right.
The George Reeves Superman universe is Earth 13. The Batman movies from the 80s would be a separate universe. The Christopher Reeves, the Donner universe would be a separate universe.
Uh-huh.
Well, when they go through the time tunnel in the first half of the Flash movie, you see six images.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we already know that Flash is going to be on Supergirl this year, but they are separate worlds.
Yep.
So, as of this point, it looks like that's going to be a separate universe that somehow the Flash crosses into.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know, and we see a picture of Melissa Benoist as Supergirl, as one of those six images. One is Grodd, which we've already seen, and we know he's on Earth 2. So, that tells you that's a separate universe that they're from. The second image you see in there is John Wesley Shipp as the Flash from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So in this show, that shows that's a separate universe for the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s, so that's right now, that's three, four universes we have right now.
Right.
The second half, you actually, Dawn, you had the better list of, we saw Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex, we already know, is going to be on Legends of Tomorrow.
He's going to
be
Legends of Tomorrow. We saw a Legion Ring.
A Legion Ring, which is suspected to be a Legends of Tomorrow one, but we're not sure about that yet.
That would make sense, or you could do it, because Legion was also in Smallville.
That's right.
They actually came back in time to help Clark, like, twice or three times they did it. Which I loved the way they did that anyway. Towards the end of Smallville, I thought Smallville got fantastic when they were actually able to add other characters and things to it. But who was the... There was a third one there.
And then the other one was Green Arrow.
Yes.
A different Green Arrow,
and
not a Stephen Amell.
And we actually saw him this week on Arrow.
Yes.
So, or no, on Legends.
On Legends.
I did a quick search.
The Connor Hawk.
I don't know if that's Connor Hawk.
He said, well, the one they're supposed to be keeping is a Connor Hawk. I'm not sure if this one is Connor Hawk.
Okay. Well, on Legends, is that Connor that we see?
I believe that's
the Black Green Arrow?
Yes.
Okay. It'll be interesting because we'll know next week. So
we'll see when it's revealed.
Exactly. So, but I still get to say I told you so because it looks like they're taking the television universes and making that the DC multiverse.
It is.
So, but as we're wrapping that up, now, Geeksters, we're going to have a break probably, late March is usually where they have the final break before they go into the end of the seasons.
Yes.
So somewhere in there, we'll probably do a wrap-up for going into the end of these seasons, at least of the television superhero shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a lot of stuff, I think, between now and then. We have the Flash crossover on March 28th.
Mm-hmm.
We have Diggle's going to be coming over to the Flash. Diggle and his wife are going to be coming over to Flash sometime in the next couple
of
weeks.
Have you seen the promos?
No.
It's the next one, isn't it?
Is it the next one?
It's not, because the promos, they're making it look like Jaws, because they're coming over to the show for King Shark.
Okay.
And the promos look like Jaws. At the very end, it's even got, like, the water with Flash across it. They're using the Jaws music. It's really funny.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, it's really funny.
But that's going to be coming up, guys. I think we're about ready to wrap this up. Do you guys have anything else before?
No, I think that was Andy's input.
Yeah. Vicky, do you have anything else to touch on?
Just really quick, Vikings...
Oh,
fourth season premiere this past week.
Yeah, Vikings was amazing.
I'm not going to spoil it because I know Dawn and Kylie hasn't seen it yet, but I just want to say I love Lagatha. Like, plain and simple, she, yeah. I think she's going to be, like...
Anybody who knows Vikings...
Don't cross her.
...knows that Lagatha's going to take care of business. That's just the way it is.
True that.
So, Geeksters, if you get a chance to check out Vikings, is an awesome show on History Channel. Just started this past week again.
If not, if you do cross her, you're going to become a eunuch.
So, I want to, Rick, thank you for being here with us all day. Andy, thank you for giving us use of the Motherwave Creation Studios.
Always a pleasure.
Did you have anything that you want to plug, Rick? Do you have any shows coming up or anything that you're going to? Where can we see the Doctor?
The Doctor will be, of course, next one will be Origins. The GM schedule, I can't tell you what it is yet because I'm not allowed. For Cubicle 7, I will be there running mini games Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Cool.
Okay. Andy, what, anything coming up? Well, we got Oddball coming up.
Cleveland Concoctions coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Vicky and I are actually going to be there.
Yeah. We'll be there. You will not be there because you'll be in Detroit.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, be a Concoction, then Oddball, then Origins. So come play Low Life with me at Origins. It'll be fun.
I'm still waiting for my first time to play Low Life with
come
you.
Come to Origins and play with me.
I think we're going to do Gen Con instead of Origins this year.
Okay, we'll come to Gen Con.
So,
I'll be both.
I think that covers everything. Remember, Geeksters, the February 29th at the Malted Meeple in Hudson, Ohio, we're having our Leap Year Meeple Cast. Come hang out with us. Have a good time. Drink some milkshakes. Drink some adult milkshakes if you're of that age. Wait, let me get up my notebook. Haha.
Really? You don't have it memorized by now?
Yeah, but I'll mess it up if I don't. Now, since I've not mentioned it in a while, remember, go to our geekwatch1.com. Go to our sponsors link, guys. Everybody on there gives us a little bit of love. Doesn't cost you any extra. Especially that Amazon link. Since we never mentioned the Amazon link, I'll mention it here. You can buy just about anything on Amazon. If you go through our link, it doesn't cost you any extra. You're going to buy the stuff anyway. And just Amazon thanks us for giving you this chance to go. Also, we've been talking to Dawn. Anybody wondering about t-shirts? We will have t-shirts cut up. We'll let you know as soon as we figure that out. So we will have t-shirts back up again. But all the information can be found at www.geekwatch1.com. Now, also, you can find us, most of you have already found us, but you can go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave a ratings and reviews. The better ratings and the better reviews, one, the reviews tells us what you think. We can look at it and say, hey, the people like this, they didn't like this. But the 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, what that does is it moves us up the list of podcasts so that people can find us easier. So you go, you can find us at GeekWatch1 on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, if you go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and just about any other social media outlet out there, look for Kylan and Ken. You'll find us there. Also, email us at kylanandken@gmail.com. Let us know your suggestions. What do you like? What you didn't like? Do you want more interviews? Do you not want more interviews? Do you want us to talk about knitting? I don't know.
We should do a knitting show.
We know enough knitters.
Yeah. Hey, we've had knitted Geek Watch 1 towels, so...
That's right! Our friend Carmen from Ambling Tortoise does the knitting for us.
So give us suggestions on what you want to hear on these shows. You're as much part of the show as we are. That's why our t-shirts say, we are Geek Watch 1. We're all part of this. Also, you can find us on Tangent Bound and the Weebie Geeks Networks at www.tangentbound.com or tangentboundnetwork.com and weebiegeeks.com. Also, and then from Vicky, for Andy, for Miss Dawn, for Kylan, for Rick, for Julie, and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.